Morning, everyone. I'm going to start today with a little quiz. Particularly if this is one of your first times being in a whole service and you want to make sure that I see your hand up, if you want to come and sit at the front rather than with your parents, then I'll be able to ask you if you want to do that. If not, you can just stay where you are and I'll just look for your hands. That's fine as well. Okay, so as Claire said, we're looking at rules today, and there's rules in all sorts of different aspects of life. So the first little thing we do is a little quiz. I'm going to put a rule or the words of a rule up, and I want you to put up your hand if you can tell me where that rule comes from. Okay, so there's the first one. No running in the corridor. Put up your hand if you can think of a place where you'd see this rule. Yes. Yeah, you'd probably see this rule at school. Who's got this rule in their school? We have it in our school. It's not always followed. Okay, lovely. And the next one. Do not access personal email and social media accounts from your desk. Put up your hand if you can tell me where you might find this rule. Yes. Yes, this is a rule for adults at work. Okay, so that's a place where you would find this rule. Okay, third one. Maximum 30 miles an hour. Yes. Yeah, good. This is a road rule. This is a rule we would find on a road. Next one. A player must not tackle an opponent who is not in possession of the ball. Where would you find this rule? Yes. Yes, you find it in football. In fact, you find it in lots of ball sports. So football, rugby, all sorts. Yes, well done. So this is a sport rule. Good. And then this is the last one. No ball games in the kitchen. Where would you find this rule? Where would you probably find this rule? Maybe in school, although you don't have too many people in the kitchen in school. At home. Okay. So, yeah, this is a rule that you would find at home. Okay. So, as we can see, there's rules everywhere in life, from school to work to sport to driving. It feels like there's more when you're a child, but actually there's just the same number, they're just different rules. I want you to put up your hand if you find it easy to follow rules all the time. If you just, every single rule, that's fine, okay? Do you really? That's really lucky. Your parents are so lucky. I wish you were my child. Has anyone ever had the experience where it seems like, so put up your hand if you think your parents are sometimes a little bit strict, or if you were an adult, if you ever thought your parents were strict. Did anyone ever have the experience where everyone's allowed to do something except you? Has anyone ever had that where perhaps it's wearing a particular thing or going somewhere by yourself or watching something on TV? Hands up if you've had where your friends are allowed to do something and you're not. Okay, I'm looking, both my children have their hands up, and that's quite right. And, that's a thing that most of us have experienced. And I think sometimes we can feel that way as Christians about rules in the Bible, because it's quite hard today, because the world around us seems to be kind of getting a little bit more relaxed on all sorts of different types of rules. And so sometimes we can feel a bit like God or the church or the Bible is kind of like this strict parent that won't let us go to a party. I think that's definitely how non-Christians see it. I think if you ask the average person who doesn't go to church, who isn't Christian, and say to them, what does it mean to be a Christian? They will probably say something like, being a good person. And then when you ask them what that really means, they might say something like, oh, not lying or stealing or being kind to people. So basically, following rules. That actually couldn't be further from the truth. Because being a Christian is really not about rules, it's about a relationship. God invites all people to be saved and to come into relationship with him. And that relationship is made possible by what Jesus did when he came to earth and died for us. We don't earn our place in God's kingdom by following a set of rules. We receive it for free as a gift when we accept and believe in Jesus. And when this happens, we don't become God's servants or his minions. We become his children. Jesus said, I have come so that you may have life, life in all its fullness. Being a Christian shouldn't enslave us, it should free us. And any time that we think about rules, this has to be our starting point. I'd like you to keep that in mind as I read today's Bible passage and as we think together about what it means. I'm reading from Galatians 5. I'm reading verses 13 to 23, and the words are up on the screen. You, my friends, were called to be free. But don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want. Use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. Everything that the law says can be summed up in a single command: love others as you love yourself. But if you keep attacking each other like wild animals, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. If you live by the Spirit, you won't obey your own selfish desires. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, filthy thoughts and shameful deeds, worshipping idols, practicing witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I told you before, and I'm telling you again, no one who does these things will share in the blessings of God's kingdom. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Okay, that is the passage that we're looking at today. That passage tells us that God gives us true freedom, but it says we can't just do whatever we want. What then follows is a pretty detailed list of rules on how we should behave. We see what we should be like, the fruits of the Spirit that we're all probably fairly familiar with: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. They roll off the tongue pretty quickly once you've been in church for a while. Then we see a list of things we shouldn't be doing: acts of the sinful nature, shameful deeds, worshipping idols, hatred, jealousy, so on. This list doesn't roll off the tongue quite so often. It's not spoken on so regularly. Maybe that's because these verses do not make comfortable reading. For each one of us, there'll be some things on the list that we'll look at and we'll think, well, that's not a thing I would ever be tempted to do. But there's other things, as we read them, we recognise, yeah, maybe sometimes that's me. Becoming Christian doesn't mean that we suddenly become perfect. It doesn't mean we're never going to be tempted to do the wrong thing. But whatever it might say elsewhere in the Bible about forgiveness and freedom, the writer here is giving us a pretty clear message. You should not be doing this stuff. Verse 13, you were called to be free, but do not use your freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want. In a way, that's kind of a catch-22 situation. We're kind of free to do what we want, we just shouldn't. It might make you wonder, like, are we actually free or not? And to show you what I mean, I want us to come back to this quiz that we started with. But this time, instead of where's the rule from, I want to ask you what will happen if you break this rule. No running in the corridor. Put up your hand if you could tell me something that would happen if you break this rule. I'll just come. If it's front, I'll do. Can you grab the other one, Claire? Thanks.
You'll get in trouble.
You'll get in trouble, yeah. You might get in trouble with a teacher, okay? You might get told off or kept in.
You might fall over.
Yeah, okay, so there's a couple of things. You might get in trouble with the teacher, but also you might fall over and hurt yourself or hurt someone else. Okay, next one. This was the accessing social media at work rule. What happens, probably grown-ups, what might happen if you break this rule? Call it out, be brave. You could get fired. Yeah, okay, you could break the rule, you could get fired. What if you don't get caught and you don't get fired? What else? Is there anything else bad that might happen? You won't get any work done. Yes, okay. Next one. Okay, this one here. What happens if you break this rule? Come on, because you're so keen. Go on, call it out to me.
You might get your driving license might be taken away from you.
Yeah, you could lose your driving license or you could get a fine. What else might happen?
You may get captured by the police.
You could get caught by the police. What if you don't get caught by the police? What else could happen?
You could get points taken off your card.
Yes, or someone's... You could be in an accident, okay? You could be in an accident, you could hurt somebody, or you could damage your car. Next one. Okay, this rule here, the sports rule. Why can't you tackle an opponent with the ball? What happens if you do this? Call it out for me.
Okay. You get a red card.
You could get a red card or a yellow card. Good. What else might happen?
You could get disqualified.
You could get disqualified.
You could get sent off pitch.
Yes, and... They could tackle you back and hurt you. You could hurt someone. You could hurt the other player or you could hurt yourself. Good, and what's the last one? No ball games in the kitchen. If you break this rule, what's going to happen to you? Yeah, you could get told off by your parents. Okay, they might take your football away. What else could happen? Mummy could shout at you.
Get sent to your room. Yeah,
you could break something.
Get sent to your room.
You could get sent to your room. What is a other really quite scary thing that could happen? You could smash a window. Yeah, good. If your mum's cooking something, you could spill the food and you could get burnt. Okay? So, for all of these rules, there's different consequences, but they kind of break up in two. There's the punishment, like getting a red card or getting told off by your parents. And then there's the consequence, like getting hurt, getting injured. Okay, so for every single rule, there's a punishment and there's a consequence. Now, when Jesus died, he made it that when we sin, when we break God's rules, there's no punishment. But that doesn't mean that there's no consequence. In another part of the Bible, one of my favourite verses is everything is permissible. Everything is allowed, but not everything is beneficial. I.e. everything's allowed, but not everything's good for you. And that's actually so important that it's in the Bible twice. It's in 1 Corinthians 6:12 and 10:23. And I like that verse because it's a really helpful way of getting our head round how Christians should feel about rules. Now, in today's passage from Galatians, we find two separate reasons why we can't just ignore God's rules and do what we want. The first one is in verse 15. It says, you'll destroy each other. And we saw that as a consequence in a lot of the rules in the quiz. Has anyone ever had a parent or teacher say something to you like, stop behaving like animals or someone's going to get hurt? Okay, that is literally what this bit of the Bible is saying. A lot of times, rules are in place to protect people. As Christians, we're called to love people, so we follow rules so that we don't hurt each other. The second reason that's given in this passage is in verse 21. It says, no one who does these things will share in the blessings of God's kingdom. Sometimes breaking God's rules might not actually hurt other people directly, but it will hurt us. Impurity, envy, anger, some of the other things on that list from earlier. These are things that separate us from God and they rob us from the blessings that come from being in a relationship with him. As Christians, we're called to love God. So we follow rules so that we don't separate ourselves from him. I want us to spend a little bit more time again going back to that list in 19 to 21, that list of things that we're told not to do. I'm going to read it one more time. Sexual immorality, worshipping idols, practicing witchcraft, hatred, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions. That kind of means falling out with each other and splitting into groups, drunkenness. Now, if we go by what we see and hear all around us today, not so much in our church, but certainly in like the media, we could quite easily pick up the message that things on this list are not actually so bad. pick an example. I'll take jealousy. Now, even though people might not specifically say that jealousy is a good thing, a country's economy is built on getting us to want and then buy stuff that we don't have. And our media positively encourages and feeds off of creating and fueling envy. I'm not going to go through the others individually, but I am going to suggest to you that in the world that we live in today, all of the things on this list, with the possible exception of witchcraft, are to various degrees either seen as not really so bad or seen as actively good. And if we want to use these verses as a guide as how we should behave, we are going to find ourselves more and more out of step with the world around us. Like I said at the start, as Christians, we can end up feeling like the kid with the strict parents who's not allowed to join in with everyone else. If that's how you feel, I want to ask you two questions. The first one is, do you trust God? Now, when I was 18, I went travelling around South Africa by myself. And at one point, I was walking on a beach. It was a really hot day and I wanted to go in swimming. But there were signs all over the beach, basically like this one up here. Signs that literally said, warning, there are sharks, no swimming. And they were all up the beach. Do you think I went swimming? No. Okay. I walked along the beach a little bit further. And after perhaps 10 minutes, I came to another stretch of beach. There were no signs on that stretch of beach. Do you think I went swimming? No. Why not? Yeah, because I thought, do you know what? I think the shark could probably swim round the 10 minutes that it's taken me to walk. So I still didn't go in swimming. Now, as it happens, I was alone on the beach. But if I had looked out to sea and I had seen some people swimming in the water, do you think I would have felt jealous of them and thought, oh, aren't they lucky enjoying a swim on a hot day? Who thinks I would have been jealous of them? No. Why would I not be jealous? How might I feel? How would I feel for them? Adam? Pardon? Yeah, I might feel scared for them. What might I do? Yeah, I might shout out to them. There's sharks. There was a sign 10 minutes away. I'm going to suggest to you that when we're Christian, it's not that we have more rules than everyone else. We just know about more rules than everyone else. And when God gives us instructions and rules about what we should do, he's not stealing our dumpling like the panda like the panda's teacher in the video. He's protecting us like the sign. Sometimes when we come across rules like the ones in the passage today, we find ourselves asking the wrong question. We ask, can I go swimming? When we should be asking, is the water safe? We ask, is it permitted? When we should be asking, is it beneficial? Following rules is tough. And it is even harder when it seems like no one else has the same rule book. But I think we need to ask ourselves, do we trust the rule maker? Do we trust God? My second question is, do we love God? Do we really get what he's done for us? I'm going to tell you another story. This is a story of something that happened to my dad when he was maybe 7 or 8 years old. So he was a young boy. It was the late 50s, early 60s. And on the way home from school every day, he went past a cake shop, just like the young, sweet boys in this picture looking through the window of a cake shop. And he went into the cake shop and he went up to the counter and he said to the shopkeeper, how much are the cream buns? And she said, oh, they're 2 pence. So my dad looked in his hand at the single penny. He looked at the cakes. He looked back to his hand. And he looked at the shopkeeper, and then the cakes, and then his hand. And the shopkeeper took pity on him. And she smiled, and she said, for you, let's say they're 1 pence. My dad stuck his hand in his pocket, said, brilliant, I'll take 10. Now, my dad's pretty cagey about what happened next, but I think he didn't walk away with 10 cream buns. And what happened was that the shopkeeper had offered my dad a free gift and he had pushed his luck. Now, I said earlier that God offers our salvation as a free gift. That's not exactly true, because our salvation is not really free. It's just free to us. Jesus paid for it with his life. And if we really get that, it should change the way that we think. If we really love God, then when we think about rules and sin, our starting point shouldn't be, how much can I get away with? As I finish today, I just want to give a couple of reminders. The first is that rules for behaviour that we find in the Bible are a standard that we should be holding ourselves to as individuals and supporting each other in as Christian brothers and sisters. We need to think really carefully about how we engage these with people outside the church. Because Jesus challenged injustice wherever he saw it, and so should we. But he never sought to impose Jewish laws on outsiders. We know that we are saved through faith and not our actions. And that means that the primary need of someone who is not Christian is to know God and be saved. It is not to eliminate any particular sin. Finally, as we go out, I just want to remind us that we should rejoice that being a Christian is not primarily about rules, but about relationship. Jesus came so that we could have life in all its fullness. God offers us a relationship with him, and with that comes freedom in this life and beyond. Let's respond in love and gratitude by seeking to do what pleases God and by trusting him to know what's best for us. I'm going to hand back over to the band. No, I'm not. I'm handing to Claire. Sorry. You're not even called Claire. You're called Sarah.
Let us think about some of the things that Lou has said to us this morning as we come to a time of prayer now. Let us pray. Firstly, this morning, we would like to pray for those who live in places with unfair rules. For the Christians who live in countries where being a Christian is not allowed. For women who are not allowed an education or free choice to go outside on their own. For people whose skin colour means they are excluded. We pray that these people know your presence and are strengthened by you. Lord, let us remember those who challenge unfair rules. For charities that work to support people, for campaigners who give time to pressure governments. Help us in our lives to challenge rules that we see that are unfair or unjust. Lord, help those who struggle to follow what we regard as accepted rules. Those with disabilities, or those who have simply never had any guidance. Help us to be non-judgmental and patient towards people. We pray for those who make the rules, for leaders, governments, and those in positions of authority. We pray that they think carefully about the rules in place. We pray for teachers, youth workers, and parents who have the chance to guide and shape the leaders of the future, the people who will make the rules in the future. Finally, Lord, help us to follow your rules. Help us to grow in our understanding of you and what a belief in you has to offer. Lord, we bring these prayers to you in Jesus' name. Amen.